Good morning. Today is Thursday, the 6th of April. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
I bet you don't know what this day is.
It's April 6th.
Other than the 6th of April.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I don't. What is it?
Well, this week is starting our 42nd week of the show. And Thursday, the first Thursday, was when Ray Shipley.
Oh, really?
Was on. So you're kind of starting the new thing with your badge, even though it's not as shiny as his was.
Ray Shipley, what a legend.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, he was a cool guy.
Yeah, he was.
Or is a cool guy.
He is.
Does your dad still have contact with him?
Yes. They get together once a year during December. They have an annual Christmas party that the old retired Eureka Police Department guys get together.
Oh, cool.
And Ray and his wife Linda come down and they participate.
They're still out in Medford?
I believe so.
Or Medford area?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, cool.
But great people, and what an impact that Ray made.
Oh, yeah.
That still is felt today. I mean,
he changed the department.
He changed culture.
Fundamentally changed it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Changed the whole professionalism of the Eureka Police Department, too.
And he knew Merle Harpin when he was young.
Well, I think Merle was old when he when he was hired on. Yes.
All right. Are you ready for our... Why do we say that?
I am.
All right. Ordeal. Why do we say ordeal?
I am not sure why we say ordeal.
You probably live it periodically. Huh?
Okay. What is the ordeal?
When you undergo an ordeal at work or on a shopping expedition, you've had an exhausting and possibly painful time. Pain was the essential element in medieval rituals that concerned the judging of others. In the eras before accused Englishmen were brought before judges and juries, innocence or guilt was frequently determined by an ordeal. Authorities sometimes heated a bar of iron. Oh, Jesus, this is not going to be comfy. Heated a bar of iron and offered it to a person suspected of crime. If grasped without burning the flesh, their deity was considered to have rendered a verdict of innocent. Numerous other ordeals were used with accused persons. In all of them, a person was pronounced guilty if he or she showed signs of suffering. Expanding from kangaroo courts into everyday life, the name of the physical test came to indicate a relatively low-level experience that is only trying or challenging.
Well, that doesn't seem like a good ordeal to me.
No, I don't think we want to bring that one back, huh?
No, And if you did go through that whole ordeal without, much pain or discomfort, something else is wrong with you.
Yeah. Well, it's like throwing those accused of witchcraft into the water, and if they floated, lots of luck. I mean, some of us have a higher likelihood. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, though.
Yeah. Buoyancy of one?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Well, thanks for sharing that today.
You bet. You betcha. That visual just really kind of brings it all home, doesn't it?
So good. Yes.
Oh, jeez. So what's keeping you up these days?
You know, what's keeping me up is what's next for Humboldt County. And, our Office of Emergency Services have been busy over the last 3 years dealing with a lot of different things. I know.
Kind of proven themselves.
Absolutely. Ryan Derby and the staff within the county have done just a really outstanding job with coordinating all the emergencies that we've been facing, whether it's been the pandemic, the PSPS shutoffs,
the pandemic
floods.
Really wasn't an emergency. It was more of a conditional.
Yeah,
a short pamp, that kind of thing, that like a flood. It's short, it's, I guess, a big spike, and then it goes away.
Right.
That thing was just kind of more of a change in societal.
True. I mean, we can look back on it now, but in the midst of it, from the very beginning, March 2020, I mean, we geared up our Office of Emergency Services, we geared up the EOC, and... Emergency Operations Center, and we were working with state and federal and local resources to try and make sure that we did everything possible to protect our people and also operate as a county.
How much of a complicator was,
go ahead.
Public health.
Well, it was something that how do I appropriately say this? Public health on the national level, on the state level, and the local level were completely different. And state was very difficult to work with. Our local public health was was good because they still were a part of our community, but they still had a challenge because they were receiving, you know, orders from the federal and state level to bring to the local level that oftentimes didn't match with what was going on with the county. So it was my job as the Office of Emergency Services Manager to kind of be able to safely navigate all those restrictions and points made by the state, and try to do really what's best for all of us here without necessarily watering it down, but just to kind of interpret it to where we can actually, you know, keep everyone safe, but yet be manageable within our county.
Massage it a little bit.
We did some massaging with some of that stuff, sure.
But with the changes of the text and the verbiage and the philosophies from the feds, like at the drop of a hat.
Yes, for different reasons. Masking was a great illustration of changing.
Yeah, whipsaw. Yeah. Credibility is kind of what I saw as one of the, I guess, one of the victims of the entire situation.
You're exactly right. What we wanted to do throughout the whole thing, I felt, was to have real meaning behind all of the guidelines. And if we were going to do something, it was because there's a certain reason backed up by either some science, some facts, or that we want to protect one another.
Or law.
One thing. Yes, or law. So we want to make sure that happens and also be reasonable with the law. We can't be draconian in how we were going to, you know, enforce this law. You know, at the time when the state prison was letting out felons, as the county jail was letting out people that should still be in jail, we want to cite people and arrest people for not wearing a mask.
And the borders were open, allowing folks with various medical conditions across the line.
Yeah.
It just kind of seemed like a train wreck.
Yeah.
And just because it wasn't done properly the first time, we backed the trains up and ran them into each other a second time.
Right.
The lingering lessons from that.
Right.
Are there any that are applicable still today?
I think so. I think one is to be... I think we're more prepared now to handle the next one that may be coming, but also we have to also be prepared to provide information to our community about the totality of the circumstances. I think one thing that we provided our community was a lot of information. A lot of information was out there, but people were using that information to scare people, using that information to not necessarily inform people.
Yeah,
but
it was a lever bar almost.
Right.
In a lot of applications.
And the reality is there's a lot of people that had COVID that recovered, that never did, you know, was a part of a stat or whatnot. And so you're more likely to recover from COVID than to die is really what happened.
It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff and noted baker, Billy Hansel.
Thank you. Yes. I am.
We could deviate on this thing really quick, but I don't think that would be appropriate.
No.
Maybe December.
Okay.
We'll play around with that a little bit.
That sounds good. Okay. Bring my favorite recipes.
So the lessons from the last couple of years, and then how much has that made the last quarter, with the winds and the earthquakes and whatnot, that much easier to, not process, but to be able to handle and work through?
That's a great question, because what it did, the pandemic brought the whole county Office of Emergency Services together, because when you look at the county Office of Emergency Services, it's essentially three people are staffed the Office of Emergency Services. So what we require in the event of emergency is utilizing all county staff And public safety personnel from different agencies to come together to manage the emergency. You know, both planning, operation, logistics, all these things require a lot of different manpower, staffing, so to speak. It's including
that's right.
Well.
That comes away from your Kumbaya meeting, huh?
That's right.
Yes, staffing. We have staffing now. Sorry. We don't have
manpower.
Labor hours. Yeah.
Exactly. So we talk about public information and all those key elements to managing the emergency. It was we have a great team within the county that we call upon. To help us. So we've had to call them in for the fires last year, as well as the winter storms and the earthquake, and then as well as the California Office of Emergency Services. So State Cal OES has really become great partners with us.
Yeah, I keep seeing their rigs parked out on the street. You don't even give them a parking spot?
We require them to actually move every 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Minutes. Yeah. A little emergency. Every 15. Yeah, okay, I got it.
Okay, so... Anyway, so they're great partners, and so we've gotten great relationships with the State Office of Emergency Services and all of the regional partners. So it's the pandemic set us up very, very well now.
How do you maintain that? Let's say we don't have an earthquake for the next 5 years of significance, and we don't have a winter like we've had, and we don't have some of the challenges. And it just kind of starts to dissipate. How do you maintain that focus without having the practical need for that?
Mm-hmm. So how we do that is a couple times a year, if there's no emergency, we actually create an emergency and invite the people in that will help us manage that emergency. And so what we do
the
is
tabletop
thing. Exercises. We run through a couple scenarios, and then and each of the subunits, you know, whether it's logistics, planning, operations, we separate those units out, including our press information, public information piece, and we work through different challenges within each of those different groups. So they know what's expected of them in case there is an emergency, and they can bring in new people to learn the jobs and learn the positions of helping coordinate. Because realistically, you know, we aren't managing the emergency. We're managing the people that are managing the emergencies. And so it's the cities and the counties. If there's a city that needs a resource, they have to go through the County Office of Emergency Services for us to reach to the state and to the federal government to look for that resource to provide.
Right, you're up the food chain.
So we're helping coordinate this whole operation.
Oh, crud. No, I can't even read. Oh, I forgot to cross my T's. There we go. Okay, now I know what I wrote down.
Okay.
Is that tabletop exercise pattern after the FBI Academy when they get all these folks together and they're kind of working? Because I think one of the cool things that they do is you're two-thirds of the way through, and here comes the wild card. Nobody's thinking about it, and all of a sudden, wacko. And now you're having to scramble with that in addition to the other stuff because that's life, right?
Right. So realistically, yes, we have a problem that's thrown in at the group, and they're working through that problem. And then there's these things, these injects is what we call them. And so things that try and steer you in another direction, or you have to now have this into consideration, you know. Classic example is like a fire scenario where now the fire has taken a turn and now a town is endangered. There's an evacuation route that's cut off, so you have to reroute traffic and...
Oh, I was thinking much sexier than that.
Yes, or whatever it could be now.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all these different scenarios that could happen. So we're used to kind of pivoting, you know, at any given point, and then utilizing the other resources and trying to figure out how we can tackle this problem.
And do that a couple times a year?
A couple times a year is really what we're supposed to be doing, but we've had so many emergencies on our own that we've just been actually practicing in real time. So
practicing in public, I think, is what some of us call these things, like this week for us.
Right.
Yeah, you do what you do, and thank you very much.
Absolutely.
And you do the best that you can.
Yeah.
Now, what about the other, does Del Norte County, they must have the equivalent of an OES, even though they're smaller. Trinity County has a smaller one also, because I would imagine if you get down to Sonoma County, you know, you're taking over a couple city blocks to put something like that together.
Right. Every county is required to have an Office of Emergency Services, and sometimes the Office of Emergency Services, like Del Norte and even Mendocino County, and I think Trinity County, are under the CAO or other departments and not the sheriff. So,
is there an advantage to having it? I mean, that's all you need is another area of responsibility, right?
It's true. I mean, we're used to handling the emergencies. The problem is that in the event of emergency, the sheriff's office is already engaged in that emergency. So we have resources that are tied to the emergency. And now we're going to have to pull people off the emergency in order to manage the other aspects of it. And so that's what makes it a challenge, is because oftentimes we want to rely on other county departments to provide us the staffing for the Office of Emergency Services, but it's oftentimes our own staffing that initially stands up the office.
So you're pulling guys and gals off one area and throwing them into another.
Yeah, so it makes it complicated.
But at least you know the dispatch language.
We do. We do.
I mean, that would be one benefit, right?
We have all that down. Sure.
Way to go.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Boy, you know, this time of the year, I always look forward to it. It's kind of like, you know, we have Santa Claus shows up once a year. Easter Bunny shows up once a year. Budgets show up once a year.
Why do you have to say the B word?
What, you don't like the bunny?
No, the budget.
Oh, the budget. The budget. Oh, okay.
It's always good when you have money, and it's terrible when you don't have the money. And we got... our notice that we don't have money this year in the county.
Is it, Tom Matson was in a week or so ago, and he said that he lost the signal light, or is in danger of losing the signal light on F Street.
Yes.
Because of budget. Okay. If he gets paid from FEMA, or when he gets paid from FEMA, he actually has a surplus. But until he does, he's not. So it's a cash flow issue, not a budget issue.
Right.
When you say budget, is it a cash flow issue or is it a budget issue?
So it's a cash flow issue in the county. So right now our tax revenue and state revenue that is provided to public safety is a lot lower than it has been over the last couple of years.
Is it in arrears or there's just less?
There is less. There is a lot less. And the fact is that we, during the pandemic, we had unprecedented growth here with, you know, people spending lots of money. And so tax revenue was up.
Yeah, it was an artificial bump.
Yes, it was.
But that's kind of what everybody knew.
Well, you would think, right, that everyone know, the people that were in the know, you know, the people that are the economic drivers in the state and those kind of things, maybe they should have been not spending so much. Maybe they should have been saving money in order for this rainy day that's supposedly here now. The fact is that, you know, the county has now said that because of diminished revenues, and escalating costs within the county, that we now have to propose a 10% budget cut, essentially, for all the general fund budget units for the county. So the sheriff's office has to submit a budget that is essentially covers 10% of our vacancy rate is how they want to do it. So we have to...
That's part of, I think, for many of us outside, what is that color? Is it like Pepto-Bismol pink?
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure you guys have got other references to it, but that's kind of what it looks like from...
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Outside the edifice is kind of how I'm referencing it these days.
The deal is, though, as far as...
Frozen positions.
Essentially, the unfunded positions, yes.
Okay. That, I guess those are still carried on budgets for some reason?
So we have the allocation, but it's just not funded. So if we can find the funding somewhere else, then that position can be
So you have permission to hire somebody if you can go outside and find the money. Is that why it's there? Because otherwise, just take an Etch-A-Sketch, get rid of those positions, and not worry about it until the money's there. And well, then you're talking apples to apples.
Well, see, the problem with that, Brian, is that, you know, there's no marker of where we were. And so if you get rid of those positions, then we can't reference. We have to go back to the board and ask for more positions in the future when their economic times are better.
Which probably would get shot down because of various things. So it's better to have them there and not,
not be able to hire them. Listen, so this is what our full staffing looks like. You know, we had 20 positions funded and all that funding went away. And there's still those 20 positions there. We want to point back to that saying you should fully fund the sheriff's office to get those 20 positions so we can actually fully, you know, staff patrol. We can have all our patrol deputies out in the outstations, whether it's Willow Creek or Garberville. Every now and then, send one to Bridgeville, send one to Petrolia, you know, these areas that never see law enforcement.
But for most of us, we just see those are empty desks right now. But the desk is still there for some time in the future.
Yes.
So when that 10% comes through, okay, Billy, you got to cut 10%. Obviously, those are going to be in that equation. Beyond those unfilled positions, what are you really looking at?
We're looking at laying off about 50 positions right now because...
In addition to the frozen.
Yeah, so right now we actually have, we'll just say 10 deputy sheriff positions that are currently unfunded on operations and about 10 correctional deputy positions. So 20 total positions that are currently unfunded in this year's budget because we didn't get enough money last year to fund our entire operation. So to help fund that gap, we internally made the decision that we were going to pull funding from these positions in order to pay for services that we offer.
Services, not compensation.
Not compensation, not positions, but like overtime and different things that we're tasked to provide. You know,
the overtime is something that Supervisor Madrone got really into and saying that we could take those dollars and hire more bodies. Okay, sounds good theoretically, but now you've got frozen positions. Now you're having to cut back, and you've got those raises that went into effect. Is this like a triple witching hour?
Yes. I mean, so someone who just looks at a budget and says, okay, if I'm going to cut anywhere, yes, this overtime thing, like that's discretionary. But in a sheriff's office, overtime is not discretionary. It is something that is necessary in order to have a continuity of operations. If our guys are working a 12-hour shift, and at 5:45 in the evening, they're supposed to get off at 6, and there's a call that comes in about a domestic violence, that call is not going to hold for the next shift that starts at 6. That deputy is going to respond to that residence, and they're going to take corrective action at that residence, maybe even arrest someone, write a report, transport to jail, and now the deputy gets off at 9 o'clock because after all the thing is done, he's got to work 3 hours of overtime. There's no discretion in that, as well as court. Every time you arrest someone for a felony, you and the DA charges, they have to have a preliminary hearing within 10 days of that charging. Mm-hmm. And so the deputy's going to have to show up in court, and he's going to have to testify. And
now, that's something that's rankled, I know, a lot of chiefs, the time. It's set for 9 o'clock, and it turns out to be closer to 4 o'clock. Tick, 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 tick,
yes.
Tick, 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 tick.
They're there all day.
Now, I know they say the wheels of justice turn slow.
Right.
But that implies motion. Why can't the scheduling be closer? One, for your guys and gals to be either out or at home and not have all this additional cost going on.
Yeah.
So is that a big question mark for everybody?
It is a big question mark. But the fact is that you really don't know what someone's going to do on the day of preliminary hearing. So if someone's going to show up to a preliminary hearing thinking they're going to fight it, their attorney, you know, sees the offer from the DA and they say, you might want to take the 2-year offer here because if you go to jury trial, you're facing 6 years. And so they finally talk the person into either pleading guilty or not. And if they don't plead guilty, then they have to set it for that preliminary hearing, whether it's that morning or later on in the afternoon. And
couldn't they just do it like the next day?
No, because you would think that it would be better coordinated, but the fact is that they just don't have that timing there. It's like that court date is set. So they don't have floating court dates.
So you guys are sitting in the hallway just kind of staring at the wall.
Absolutely, waiting for that to happen. And so there's, you know, it could be 10, 15 preliminary hearings scheduled on any given day. And sometimes they get pushed back. Sometimes they waive time. Sometimes they have to go in that 10 days. And then our deputies are sitting there waiting for that time where they get to go and testify.
So it looks like overtime on the budget.
It is.
But it's uncontrollable.
It's uncontrollable, as well as emergencies that happen. Our winter storms.
Oh, we don't have emergencies around like, here. Come
exactly.
on, dude.
Exactly. So it's that, all these things that come up. So
it's 8:44.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer. Your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. So looking at these challenges with budget, semantics, and communication issues, et cetera, when you still are at the funding behest to a certain extent of your budget.
Oh, absolutely.
From the soups.
Yes.
You absolutely. Have some guaranteed, you have some some match, and then you've got the soups. Now, you can choose to take a fifth on this one. Do they get it?
I think they do. I mean, I've talked with most of them, you know, behind the scenes and that kind of thing, just talking about, you know, how we can't take this hit. We really can't. We can't take a 10% budget cut. And so they all get it. They all express concerns. They do not want to lay off any sheriff's deputies. I you know, that's something that they really don't want.
Well, that'd be in poor taste after giving all those raises.
Right. Absolutely. And so it's... All those things are coming into play, and I feel like they understand. They wish they were in a different circumstance.
Well, everybody does that. Right. I mean, that's easy.
But so they're going to have to prioritize, and that's what's going to end up happening is prioritizing public safety, prioritizing what really the county needs from, you know, the people need from their county government.
Well, and I think it's compounded a little bit too, isn't it, with the cratering of the marijuana industry? You know, all this retail, absolutely. And they thought, oh, my gosh, look at all this stuff we're going to do. And they hire people in the planning and building department, and now they're waiving those fees. But those folks are still drawing their salaries and doing theirs. It just seems a little upside down.
Yeah, so the marijuana industry taking the turn that it has, and the struggling economies in Willow Creek and Garberville have really shown the board that economic development needs to be a driver here in the county. And I think we need to focus on that. And one of the other things they need to focus on is not only that economic development for our businesses, but housing. You know, one of the things that we talked about in strategic planning with the county was housing for all. You know, it's not just a housing situation for people that are houseless. It is housing for the working class, for the middle class, for the upper class. Everyone needs housing right now. And, you know, we're trying to do all this economic development for, you know, Cal Poly and for the fish farm and offshore wind. And we have the fiber coming in. And we have people that want to locate here and retire here. And you know, there's a lot of great things that we have here in Humboldt County. But when people come here, they go, I can't find a house. I can't find a place to live.
Or if I can, it's so pricey.
Yeah, and so
because of lack of supply.
So the cities and the county really needs to come together and figure out how we can incentivize development, how we can incentivize building houses, because there are contractors that are sitting on lots that aren't currently being built because the building codes, because the economy, you know, there's a lot of reasons why people can come forward and not, you know, or not want to not sit on those, you know, sit on those lots. So incentivize it, whether it's waiving permit fees. Whether it's doing something to incentivize.
Well, there's precedent for that.
Yeah.
If they waived it for the marijuana industry,
right.
Waive it for the housing industry.
Yes, because we need it. I mean, you know, I want my kids to be able to afford a house here. But what we're finding is, you know, my kids just graduated high school and one's graduating college. And, you know, all of their friends are still living at home. If they're here or they're coming from college, you know, they're living at home. They can't afford a place. I mean, you can barely find a place to rent here. And if you want to rent a house, I mean, it's $2,500 a month to rent a house.
Yeah, it's almost the equivalent of a payment.
It's So that's one thing that I think our county needs to focus on, and so we can have a place where people can actually live here and thrive here.
But a coordinated effort amongst
city and
county. Everything within this jurisdiction, from Mendocino to Trinity and Del Norte.
Right.
So, instead of one city doing what it's doing and another city doing what it's doing.
Right. It's true. And it's going to help me because I can actually retain people here. We have a great salary that we pay our correctional deputies and deputy sheriffs, but we have people that are looking to leave because their families can't afford a house here. They're looking at the Central Valley.
Yeah, it's the cost of living.
Going to Bakersfield. And,
well, why don't you tell them to go to Nebraska or Kansas? I mean, at least there the housing's more affordable.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's interesting. A lot of it is California driven.
True.
And, you know, at least the current administration in Sacramento, I'm not hearing anything at all about reducing income tax or sales tax.
Nope.
Or. So,
well, and that's one of the other things too, Brian, is that, you know, back in 2015, we had Measure Z pass because there was public safety issues and they wanted to increase their taxes for more deputy sheriffs on the street. That was really the crux of Measure Z. And support
public safety, boom.
Fire.
There you go.
You know, roads and ambulance service. Those are the four things that they wanted Measure Z to fund. And now we're looking at cutting services, but still Measure Z is there, taking that tax. That's a hard one to swallow.
Yeah, well, that's that whole confidence and belief and trust and all those things that you guys had your kumbayas for.
Yes, we did. I feel like we're getting it.
See, now that's a technical phrase. You probably didn't hear that kumbaya. One down there, huh? Kumbaya.
No, I don't think so. No. Is that religious?
No, it was right next to the granola pile.
Gotcha.
See everybody tomorrow.